Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Situation Room. Welcome to the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Situation Room. We are sorry to have missed you last week. Gabe and I were both super busy with real life work, but week two did not disappoint us, did it, Gabe?
I mean, I'm sitting here on my couch still smiling. This game was a blast. What a comeback victory. What a comeback after, you know, a tough overtime loss in week one. I was pretty pessimistic about this game. I didn't think the Ravens, you know, had much of a chance against, you know, the juggernaut Chiefs team. All the bad history with this team, you know, Lamar, you know, not being able to beat Mahomes, finally getting that monkey off his back. What an incredible Sunday night game. It's exactly what we want to see.
Yeah, I tweeted right before the game started that I still had faith. I thought that with this team being at home, getting a real crack in front of a crowd, being opening night, giving Lamar a chance to draw off that energy, and, you know, we saw it happen. I mean, I think the one thing that jumps off the page to me about this game is that there are a lot of people that don't love John Harbaugh, and I can live with the people that don't love. They want an X's and O's coach. They want a coach that can step in or take over a certain side of the ball if they have to do that whole kind of thing. John Harbaugh is not that guy, but we're talking about a team that took a brutal loss on Monday night, managed to get on a flight, fly home on a red eye, get home, sustain an injury to their starting left tackle in the process of that. Also having another injury on the offensive line, get it all together and say, we are still going to go out there and we're going to compete with these guys, because people didn't think that it wasn't even just that the Ravens won this game. People didn't think that the Ravens were going to even compete in this game. Maybe not like not compete, but they thought it was going to be more like one of those games where they lost by like 10 to 14. And it was never really as close as 10 to 14. And John Harbaugh had these guys ready. He had them fired up. And if it wasn't for a couple miscues at the beginning of the game, This game was firmly in the Ravens' corner.
Yeah, I mean, not to completely box score scout here, but if you look at the Ravens' like offensive play, just like what they were able to do, they put up almost 500 yards. I know that the Chiefs have like a pretty bad defense, but that's still impressive. I mean, Lamar Jackson on his own had like a phenomenal game. Obviously the two interceptions, not ideal. Over 100 yards rushing, two rushing touchdowns. You know, he had the incredible completion to Marquise Brown for the touchdown. Like, he had some really good throws throughout the course of the game. Obviously, made plays with his feet throughout the course of the game. I mean, not everything was perfect, but, you know, he needed to step up in a big way, and he did. We also had big games from, like, Hollywood Brown, who came in and dropped 113 yards on six receptions, had a touchdown, could have easily had another touchdown with that, you know, on that first drive where Lamar just, you know, overshot. Probably had a little too much adrenaline going. And just threw the ball a little bit too far. But, you know, the offense really came to play here. I think that was what I was most excited to see after some issues last week. I think there's a lot of improvement in a lot of areas.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, essentially this team played from a deficit the entirety of the game. I mean, we'll talk about some of these other things that happened a little bit later in the podcast, but you know, you had the 2-point conversion that was horribly called back on just a terrible decision, and hopefully somebody gets fired over that. You had obviously the pick six after Sammy Watkins just falls down. I mean, that's nobody's fault. I don't understand why the Ravens have slipping problems. There's no other team in the NFL. We watch a lot of Ravens games. We both watch a lot of football. I've never seen a team slip as much as the Ravens seem to do.
On the home field too. Like you should know like the kind of cleats to be wearing on your home turf.
And sometimes it's Lamar. We saw Tyson slip on this game as well. Like it's just, to me, it's just surprising when I see these guys slip so much. And I don't see other teams doing that. But between all those plays and all that action, I mean, essentially the Ravens stopped Mahomes on 2 of 4 drives on offense in the first half. They were, even though they weren't in control of the game from a score perspective, they were in control of the game. They didn't let that get away from them. And even when they were down by 10 and they turned the ball, or down by 11, right? They were down by 11. Mm-hmm. And they had to punt, and they still stayed in control. Yep. And they still kind of like didn't lose it. A huge testament there goes to all the coaches, many of whom, you know, I think Wink and Roman have taken their beating a little bit the last kind of week or so as well. And so they deserve some props for this game.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, I mean, we'll get into a little more detail about like the game plan, I think, that went into this, but it's, I mean, like you said earlier, a short turnaround, like there's a lot of adversity that they overcome really early getting behind on that pick six. But you don't get away from the game plan, and you stick to what's working. You know, they're able to run the ball against this Chiefs team. We saw last week the Browns kind of ran all over the Chiefs and got away from it a little bit. You know, the Ravens made some breaks happen for themselves in this game. They forced two really clean kind of turnovers. And, you know, Lamar had those turnovers earlier. The Chiefs had the turnovers later in the game, and that really came back to hurt them. The Ravens were able to overcome the earlier mistakes, stay in the game. Every single time where it seemed like they were down, they were able to answer back with those long scoring drive, or, you know, that touchdown that they just had to get, and they were able to stay in it. And I mean, it was such an impressive and gutsy performance by this team. It's really like on the pantheon of like all-time great Ravens games, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be up there. I mean, I can't remember, you know, there have been some exciting football games to watch. I remember watching the Chiefs-Rams game a couple years ago where the score was like 500 to like 501 or whatever it was.
It was offense, right? It was all offense. They had the three and out earlier and they had that punt, but after that, like in the second half, they were just able to move the ball pretty much at will against this Chiefs team. And this isn't exactly what we expect from the Ravens. I think we've come to know them as a good defensive team. And I think they still have potential to be a good defensive team this year. These first two games, notwithstanding, like there's a lot of potential on that side of the ball. They held the Chiefs to like a reasonable yardage total. I know the points were a little overinflated because of that, you know, pick six, but like, I haven't seen the Ravens put that much kind of like confusion on Mahomes as we've seen in a long time. Like he had two touchdowns that were like, one of them was just like a long, you know, Kelce making the play, but he was under duress. That could have easily gone the other way. I mean, like the defense like stepped up too. I'm just rambling here because I'm so impressed by what the Ravens were able to do. There's so many things to talk about. It's just, we should probably get into a little more detail because I want to start with running the ball and the play action that came off the ball. That was something that we didn't see last week. They weren't able to run the ball effectively. What do you think it was? Was it offensive line changes? Was it just the defense they're going against? There's a lot of things we could look at here.
I think it was a little bit of a mix of both, but I think part of what you have to credit on this team at this point as well is that you've just got to give them a little bit of time to play together. I mean, and we heard Chris Collinsworth say this on the broadcast. He's like, these guys have come together in the last 10 days, realistically. Like Latavius Murray and Devontae Freeman were not even on the roster on two Wednesdays ago, which is wild to think about, right? So we are not even 11 full days away from two of the running backs getting added to the roster. There were definitely some protection mix-ups, some confusion around some of those kind of things. They needed to really lock down on some of those spots. And I think that the edge rushers are just weren't as good. I think part of what happened in the last game is the same thing that happened to the Chiefs in this game, which is that when you go on the road and you have to defend decent pass rushers, it gets harder if you lose a little bit early. You you can't communicate as much late. You can't talk to each other. There's no kind of like in snap communication that's going on because of the noise level that's so high. And so then you start to struggle a little bit, and then it really just gets away from you. And I think that's kind of what happened to Villanueva and the whole Ravens offensive line last game. It just kind of got away from them a little bit, and they were having problems on both tackles last game. So you couldn't really slide protection one way or the other. And maybe the Ravens just weren't ready from a game plan perspective to do enough to chip or help or do whatever they could back in the Raiders game. Either way, I don't think the Ravens were terribly ineffective in running the ball against the Raiders. But what you just said, I think, was critical. The Ravens were really good, and we'll have to break down what these numbers look like. We're just so quickly after the game here. But the Ravens were really good throwing out a play action in this game, and Lamar really, really made them pay. Part of that was them giving him time, but they were just very good at a play action in this game.
Yeah, and just incorporating play action is something that they did a lot last week, and they were effective in it, but I think that's something that has to be part of like the weekly game plan. This has to be a core like tenet of what they do on offense. And I mean, we saw Marquise Brown get open on it like repeatedly downfield. Mark Andrews is also going to, you know, be someone who can do well in play action, because, you know, even if he like gives a little chip at the line just to like give, you know, an offensive tackle a little bit more time, that's okay, because you have more time when you run play action. You know, it holds those linebackers, and then you get him leaking out behind them. And he's another person who can really benefit from that. So I want to see, you know, a little bit more of like the RPO game. I think that's also somewhere that the Ravens can, you know, make some good impactful plays. But, you know, overall, I think for this one, it all started with the running game. And there were some design runs for Lamar that were like really backbreaking to the Chiefs defense. You know, Tyson Williams had another like solid outing, I think. He's still a work in progress, and it's clear that he's not like as comfortable in this offense as like maybe Gus Edwards has been or J.K. Dobbins, for instance. But he has shown like that tough, hard nosed running style. He pushes the pile. He picks up extra yardage. He has that explosiveness in him. He can catch the ball a little bit too. Obviously, you know, he had that fumble early on, and then, you know, the Ravens were able to recover, get the touchdown. But, you know, the Ravens stuck with him. You know, Harbaugh didn't put him in his doghouse and put him back, you know, on like their third string. He was basically their primary runner when it came down to it. And he, I think, showed that he deserves to be that player in this run scheme. He has more upside than the other two running backs, I think, that are currently on the roster.
I also thought we saw some more of the kind of option style running. So not necessarily our like run pass option, but just Lamar option choice stuff. And to me, that speaks to kind of the team just getting on the same page, you know, and the running back getting on the same page as Lamar. We didn't see any botched handoffs this game. We saw several in the prior game where they didn't know how to do that. We saw a little kind of like option run with Duvernay on a jet sweep with Lamar taking it right up the middle. I also thought the other thing that made it effective is that the Ravens, and I feel like the most of the time when we see Lamar running up the middle last year was on the counter bash stuff or on scrambles. And in this game, there was much more dedication and willingness to let him run between the hashes. I don't know if that's like a health thing for the Ravens and they want to keep away from it because it leaves him a little bit more exposed and a little bit more at risk. But it really opens up the playbook when they're willing to run Lamar up the middle. But, you know, if Lamar's going to be running down the sideline, and instead of stepping out of bounds, dropping his shoulder into a defender and running him out of bounds, then you might as well just let him run up the middle.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Lamar's going to make some amazing plays no matter how he's utilized, I think. But he was willing to, you know, be a little more physical out there. I mean, you saw it on that last touchdown when he did his little, he was feeling himself a little bit there. That was, he wanted to really show that he, you know, came to play. And I think win or loss, I think, I mean, this was a performance for the ages for the Ravens quarterback. And, you know, it's just, yeah, there's going to be some interesting conversation about the Ravens tomorrow, I think. But, you know, they did a lot more good in this game on both sides of the ball than maybe we even have time to talk about. But let's talk a little bit about defensive scheme here, because, you know, the Ravens in the past have, especially against Patrick Mahomes, have dialed up a lot of blitzes. You know, we saw last year they tried to do this extravagant kind of like scheme where, you know, you're doing all the like deceptive blitzes where you're showing like eight players on the line of scrimmage and you're dropping, you know, your outside linebackers, you're blitzing your defensive backs. We didn't see that all in this game. I think they might have blitzed maybe like three or four times the entire time. I mean, that might be wrong, but it was mostly a coverage you know, approach to stopping Mahomes. And this is how I think the analytics would say this is that's a smart thing to do against guys like Mahomes, against guys like, you know, you know, Josh Allen or whoever it may be, you know, drop seven or eight in coverage, try and get after the quarterback with three or four. And if you can make them make the right decision every single time, eventually they're going to be plays where you're not going to make the right decision. Like Patrick Mahomes, he got pressured by Owe, almost sacked, throws it away as he's falling down, turns into an interception. Like that's the kind of play that happens because you're able to use like one of your athletic, you know, outside linebackers to kind of like get a late pressure on him. But because of, you know, the importance of that play and because you have eight guys and dropping the coverage, you're able to make a play on that ball. And that's kind of the difference in this game plan is what we've seen before, where you bring everybody and there's like, there has to be perfect communication or else you're going to get beat. And last time Mahomes beat the Ravens, this time Wink beat Mahomes. And, you know, it might not have looked that way in the box score, but that interception, that was what changed this game. That stopped there and getting the interception, that was huge because they were in the Ravens territory. They were driving down. And that's something that, you know, you can look to and see how Wink is evolving as a play caller. Cause he did it last year in the playoffs as well against Josh Allen. He didn't blitz. Like that's his game script. And he went away from it and it worked for them in that game and it worked for him again in tonight's game.
Well, and that's, you know, I loved to see it because what it gives you is another dimension, right? Like it allows you to do both. And so if the Ravens can figure out how to even, I think there's even more that they could do with this in the sense that the Ravens really were in this game in particular, playing too high, not letting Hill beat them over the top. They weren't going to let themselves get beat deep without kind of extra help or extra coverage, you know, that was supporting back in those places. But in against teams that don't have some of the assets that the Chiefs have from a passing perspective, the Ravens can still show all those same blitz look and just do it a little bit less. And I think that they'll still be just as effective and they'll still be just as good. And so it's nice to see Wink open it up a little bit and know that, look, the other thing that you get out of this is that you get reps that were successful. So you're willing to go back to these packages and moments where it's not working. So maybe the game plan against Pittsburgh is go blitz crazy because, you know, their offensive line is trash. And for whatever reason, Ben is just torching us, right? Like, and maybe last year, they're not comfortable adjusting into something that didn't have as little blitz package. When you've done it in a game like this, and you've done it against a quarterback like Mahomes, you've run some snaps like this, you've seen some plays like it, guys know how to communicate it. It goes a long way to being a little bit better. And so, you know, I think defensively, it's ultimately is going to be make a big difference. But the other part I thought that, you know, and they talked about this on the broadcast as well, but it was clear the Ravens were not going to let Tyreek Hill beat them in this game. And I think that was smart because there have been times that Tyreek Hill has definitively beaten the Ravens. I mean, if you think back to what, 3 years ago on that fourth and whatever play and the prayer that was just kind of chucked up the hill, the Ravens were just not going to let that happen. They were going to put two guys on him. They weren't going to let any kind of crazy Mahomes Hill magic happen. And they still managed to find a way to play chess around the remainder of the defense. And to me, that's a step up for Wink. That is more of a Bill Belichick style defensive approach. Let me figure out how to take away these certain things. And then once I've taken those away, make you beat me with the rest of it. And so it was really good to see.
Yeah. And that's exactly what it is. It's, you know, that is the Bill Belichick approach. He's like, I'm going to take away your best player and you're going to have to beat me with the other guys. And, you know, and in this game, the Mahomes did kind of beat them to some extent because, you know, you had Byron Pringle, you know, touchdown, you know, DeMarcus Robinson touchdown. Like, you know, Travis Kelce obviously had that one big play. Aside from that, though, Kelce was kind of held down as well. That he had that one big play up, but you know, the Ravens actually did a pretty good job on him. But Tyreek Hill, 3 catches for 14 yards on 7 targets. That's about as good as you can imagine Hill like being 100% healthy, being kept out of the game plan. And that makes, you know, the other team really kind of reevaluate what they're going to do. If they're going to say, okay, we're going to take our best offensive player away, how are we going to adjust to that? And, you know, they did to a certain extent, but that was something that the Ravens did really well in this game. I was really impressed by that. You know, we saw Humphrey kind of moving around a little bit and covering Hill. He always had a safety. Whoever was covering him had a safety over top. Like, that's how you have to do it. You know, if the Ravens are a little bit better at tackling, this might have been an even like better total like looking game than what they ended up looking with here. But it was, I think, you know, there's definitely room to improve. But like you said, you know, the fact that Wink is willing to kind of adjust and like do this kind of game by game script to kind of like come up with a game plan to beat someone specifically. You know, I think this was something that they've been working on a little bit longer than just like a week. They had a plan in place for this game. I think it was pretty clear that they knew how they were going to attack Mahomes. They, you know, like I said, it wasn't perfect the entire time, but they stuck to the game plan and it worked out for them in the end.
Yeah, well, let's talk about some of the stuff that did not seem to go well in the game plan. And you know, I think you just mentioned it in terms of the poor tackling ability. But if you're going to play that, I mean, it was almost very Dean Pease-like, right, in terms of what the defensive approach was. They weren't playing a ton of, like, quarters, you know, kind of what we saw a lot of that from Pease. But it was very much keep the play in front of you. You know, don't let yourself get beat deep. Hope that you can make early stops on early downs, and then you can pressure on third down when you get third and long. When the Ravens had the Chiefs in third and long situations, they were really successful. You know, that first touchdown to Robinson was on a third and short where the Ravens were clearly overcommitting to the run. I wish they would have kind of stayed with the same game plan there, which is just like, maybe our front seven stops them on this run play. Maybe they don't, but we're gonna make them beat us the whole 50 yards down the field, not just get it at one crack. But if you're going to play that style, then you've got to have a understanding and a mentality. And I think some of this goes to the fact that the Ravens don't play the style a lot of how to redirect runners, how to work together in the open field in terms of tackling. And then this is not so much about technique or not so much about collective team defense. Sometimes you just got to make the tackle when you're in the open field and you have these guys there. If you watch the dots on the Pringle play, Averett should have had him once. I mean, he should have been down several plays, several different times. The Kelce one, I thought was actually slightly more forgivable overall. But generally speaking, the team collectively needs to figure out schematically how to stay in there, like essentially stay in your run fits when you're in that kind of passing defensive formation.
Yeah, I agree with all those things. And with the tackling, you know, sometimes it's just in game, like you take a bad angle, or you just get beat by the opponent. Sometimes, you know, they make a move and you just miss a tackle. But I think in the bigger, you know, scheme of things, like you can, I think, you know, have to accept some of those like tackling issues. If you're going to play, you know, this type of defense where we're not going to let you get anything over the top. Like, I think that was clearly what was the difference in this game, was not giving up those kind of shots over the top. And, you know, the Chiefs receivers made the plays when they needed to at times, but, you know, there's a lot of third down stops that the Ravens had in this game. And that's something that we haven't seen a lot of against the Chiefs in the past. And you know, maybe we got a little lucky to get that fumble there at the end of the game, but that was a big play. I mean, the Ravens made the stop when they had to do it. And like, they did it a few times in the second half, and you know, props to the Ravens players, props to the scheme and making it work when they needed to.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, just defensively, I think that some of those things fit together, but you know, again, when you're not just letting them kind of take the top off and beat you and you make them work, it also makes it harder when you just work down their third down playbook too, right? Like throughout the game, if you're making them convert third and seven and longer 10 times, the ninth and 10th time are harder, not just because they're the ninth and 10th time and guys are more tired, but you've showed your hand, right? You showed how you want to approach it. You showed kind of what things that you thought you were going to attempt to do. And I think to some degree, for the most part, we started to see that later in the third quarter when we got the interception from Tavon and then we got the punt after that, which was that, you know, the Chiefs were going to that kind of five wide running back split out wide defense. And the Ravens seemed to, at least in the third quarter, kind of get a little bit of a handle on it and understand what they were doing. The Chiefs made an adjustment and were much better on it in the fourth quarter. But again, you have to force them to make that adjustment. Don't let them be comfortable, make them do something differently. And then when you do that, maybe you force a fumble because you've altered the game plan and you've taken a couple bullets out of the holster in that process. That ends up being kind of making a huge difference overall. I know we were supposed to be talking about the bad about this game, but they won, and so I just can't help it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that spread look is something that the Ravens have struggled against. Like, it's difficult for them, I think, on the back end. I think, you know, zone coverage is probably the best way. If you kind of swap to a zone drop eight, that's probably your best way of trying to take away that, because it's really hard to man up five players. Especially when you have guys like Kelce, you know, guys like Hill, Hardman's fast too. Like, that's putting your defense at a lot of risk, especially when you're trying to take away someone like Hill. That really puts players on an island. So I think, you know, maybe that kind of like cover four shell against or cover two shell against that spread look is your best option. Just try and keep everything underneath. But and, you know, like you said, I think the Ravens did a good job of making some adjustments. You know, the Chiefs made some adjustments back, but it's a work in progress, I think, right now for this Ravens defense. And there's some moving parts. We're still trying to figure out, I think, some of the rotations in terms of personnel. You know, we saw some different things in this game versus what we saw last week. Some players were put in there in positions. You know, Brandon Stevens came in for Elliott, and you know, he didn't seem to play too badly. He had a couple of nice kind of breaks on the ball late. There was nothing over top where he got beat. He seemed to know his role. I think that's a positive for the Ravens. And we have someone, you know, come in as a rookie into a role that, you know, he's kind of been doing a lot of different things, and he just stepped right in and was able to take over. And I think that was really important for the Ravens in this game.
Yeah, you know, one other nitpicking thing that I'd say about the Ravens defense is that I didn't love their approach in terms of personnel. I know that Elliott went down, and we didn't really talk about that. That could potentially be a big blow. Luckily, what is it, Detroit next week? I think that it's a lower impact game, so if he has to miss a week, that's okay. But I would have liked to see, I mean, Geno Stone, you know, or Darius Washington, Anthony Levine are on the roster for a reason. And, you know, you were letting your front seven play Edwards-Helaire and letting that be whatever that was going to be. And so I'd like to see them bring guys like our Darius Washington and Geno Stone into the game in these situations. So I would love, I mean, I know our Darius Washington is a little bit of a mismatch against a guy like Kelce because he's shorter, yep. But he can be physical. He can be up on the line of scrimmage against him. I would like to see the Ravens chip, or maybe not chip, but press, like get more physical with some of these guys coming off the line of scrimmage when they got their free releases and then could get into their routes and put the moves on their defenders. They could do it. And then you just can't leave Malik Harrison in space. I really like Malik Harrison. I think he's a great run defender. But he should not be on the field in any kind of passing situation. He's not fast enough, and he is not agile enough. And, you know, his awareness does not make up for those gaps. So I would take the loss in physicality from a guy like him over a guy like Geno Stone or Darius Washington that are going to give you a much better kind of pass defense scenario. It's probably more helpful when you got a guy like Westry that you can rotate in as well and do more with some of that. But I didn't love seeing Harrison on Kelce the 19 times it felt like we did.
Yeah, I think that's definitely something that was a bit of a mismatch that the Chiefs were able to take advantage. And there wasn't, and I'd have to go back and look at the personnel, and maybe after like the fourth or fifth time that it was clear that he couldn't even like stay in the same like space as Kelce, that maybe they went away from it. You know, I think that the dime package is something that the Ravens are going to have to use pretty heavily this year. I had some upside hopes for Harrison. He's obviously, like you said, a very good player against the run, but he just really doesn't have that agility to play in space. I think, you know, you can use someone like Bowser more effectively as a coverage linebacker, and he has been used a lot in that role. If you need to have, you know, some of that versatility in terms of having a bigger body on the field, maybe just have him line up off the ball a little bit more. But then you have, you know, It's tricky, but I think the Ravens definitely need to use those defensive backs more on the field. I'd like to see Washington out there. He can play in the slot. You know, if you have him and Young in the slot when you're going like four or five wide, I think that's a good matchup for you, as opposed to, you know, maybe having some heavier bodies there. So I think this definitely needs some like more rewatching in detail to see if some of those adjustments were made. But I think that you have personnel to potentially be more flexible in the back end. And I think that's something that they should move towards.
Well, you and I have been talking about Tyus Bowser being a candidate to move inside for his entire career. And I think what's interesting now is that Justin Houston and Owe predominantly played the entire second half on the edges, and they were fantastic. They were both very good. They both played their jobs and their roles really well. Justin Houston just understands how to rush and contain the passer. It's something that we've missed since Suggs has been gone. And we got really great snaps from him, and then we get really great athleticism from OA. If that's what you're going to do, then you're taking Tyus Bowser off the field, who's a great in-space pass defending linebacker. That's an easy switch to make to me, right? Like, especially for a guy like Harrison, and you know that Bowser can defend the run well enough. So it'll be, I'm very interested to watch how the Ravens are going to use those outside linebackers from this point. It almost seems like Jalen Ferguson has essentially lost his job and lost an opportunity to be a Raven in the long term. And not by any virtue of what he did this year. You know, maybe he gets another shot if somebody gets injured, but Owe I know we're not talking about individuals right now, but Owe has claimed that spot and he should be taking 80% of the snaps at one of the outside linebacker positions for the duration of the season. He is just without question.
Yeah. I mean, let's talk about him real quick, because this game was phenomenal from him. Like, he not only did he force 2 turnovers essentially and recover one, he's so good on the edge. I think he also had a TFL, and maybe
he was
in on another one too, I think. Or he's just a guy, like you said, 80% of the snaps, he should be on the field. Like, he's your best probably pass rusher, pure pass rusher. I mean, Houston's been playing really well, I think, as well. But he has that ability to, if he needs to, drop into coverage. He's athletic enough to do that. So you can still have some versatility with him. But what a find for the Ravens. You know, there was a lot of talk about, you know, the lack of production in college. And, you know, he was just an athlete. But man, he has been a difference maker for this team. You mentioned Houston and kind of the Suggs comp as, you know, someone who's, you know, kind of that veteran savvy, that, you know, just knowledge out there on the field. But have the Ravens had anyone with the athleticism of Adafe Owe on the edge? I mean, Adalius Thomas, maybe? Like, I mean, who was the last guy they've had out there that can be both a pass rushing threat and this kind of like all around athlete?
Yeah, I mean, maybe Thomas. I mean, that would be it. And he was never really an edge guy. I mean, Dumervil was more athletic than he got credit for, but he was really a pure, you know, rush only type guy. He was an absolute stud in this game. He's looked like he was going to be a stud in the preseason, but he needed to develop a little bit. I thought it wasn't going to come on for a few more weeks. He was going to get his reps and they were going to kind of share and keep the load down. But, clearly not the case. I mean, he's winning at the point of attack running on run defense. He's winning at the point of attack on pass defense. And if I recall, the fumble on the Edwards-Helaire play, that would have put him on the left side of the line, meaning that he beat Orlando Brown to force that fumble.
Yeah, he cut inside Brown on that play.
Yeah, so for anybody that was clamoring for Orlando Brown back after the loss last week, then should gladly be happy with the results of the trade from this one. So, you know, he was fantastic, but he's going to give the Ravens a lot of opportunities to do a lot more when it comes to what they want to try and do with this front four. And I'm really excited to see what we're going to see from him kind of the rest of the way. Let's jump back real quick though to some things that didn't go so well, and we'll wrap those up, because it wasn't a perfect game. We talked about the pick six and Sammy Watkins falling down. I don't think that was anybody's fault in particular. Lamar had some really bad throws in the first quarter because he just wasn't settled down.
Yep.
He clearly settled down by midway through the second quarter and was fine after that. But let's talk about the 2-point conversions and the Ravens' complete and utter inability to call what seemed to be make sense plays from 2 yards away from the end zone. I mean, I know this is a pet peeve of yours, so I'll let you start.
So real quick, it's interesting because they scored touchdowns on similar like position on the field, like just outside of the goal line. They were able to like design plays where you got Lamar Jackson scoring easy rushing touchdowns. Why can't you do? I mean, I feel like they did that by motioning the defenders or, you know, offensive players away from that side of the field and just gave Lamar space. But it seems like the opposite. They're condensing space on these 2-point conversions. They're kind of like rolling Lamar out and asking for defenders to come with him. And then there's like, I mean, I know you're trying to find like that crease to find like Hollywood a couple of times, but it's just, I don't like those play designs at all. I think you want to use Lamar's speed. And you take that away when you design plays like that. It's just frustrating. And they should be like the most devastating 2-point conversion team on the planet. Just with, like, the talent that they have. They have guys who can pummel you up front. They also have quick guys, and you have Lamar Jackson. Like, how is it so difficult for a 2-point conversion to happen? It's just mind-boggling to me.
Well, the 2-point conversion area seems like the perfect area for the counter bash plays as well, too,
yeah.
Right? Because then you get to pick where you want to put the ball down to start, right? So like that's A, right? So like, give yourself more space, like make the right decision when you're doing some of these kind of things, right? Or maybe they don't get to pick where they put it down, but they get it down in the middle of the field either way, right?
Yeah.
So, but use all three dimensions of the field, right? Like Lamar was so good running up the middle, and maybe, I mean, I would say they realized this too late, but like the 2-point conversion attempts were late in the game. And it seemed like that was the, like on that fourth quarter drive to score the touchdown. Lamar was gashing, not gashing, but absolutely beating Kansas City up the middle of the field. That when they would motion, they would use motion or they would use action to get them going out wide, then it was very easy for him to get right up the middle of the field, right? Like, so why are those not the reads? Why is it a rollout throw? I'm with you. I think the package just needs to be, the package needs to be tightened up and it needs to be built on, right? Like the Ravens should essentially try and, I mean, they should do exactly what they did on the fourth down play to end the game, right? Like start there, line up there, keep doing that until it finally doesn't work, build off that and continue to build out from there, right? And use the looks, use the action, build it all out the same. And it seems like they get to the 2-point conversion line. It's like, okay, let's do something completely different now because we came all the way down the field using the same thing and now we have to change it. And it's almost like when they get in that situation, they're just overthinking themselves.
Yeah, and you mentioned something that I'd like to come back to as well, which is the lack of the counter bash, which I feel like through two games, they've barely touched. And it was something that was so effective for this Ravens team down the stretch last year. I mean, I know you don't have J.K. Dobbins and you kind of reworked the offensive line. But that's a play that was, I would say, almost 90% effective for the Ravens last season. Like, and not only was it like effective in terms of just churning and like successful, but like big successful plays, like touchdown plays consistently and like big hitters. And they were also using it in short yardage conversions, like around like this area of the field we're talking about, like on 2-point plays and short, like right on the goal line kind of plays. I don't know why this has disappeared and left Greg Roman's playbook, but it's something that I think needs to be brought back like as soon as possible.
Yeah, I think some of that might have to do with guard and them not settling what they who it is at left guard up to this point and needing to get that settled before they want to bring it back a little bit. They did. There was one play where they had two pullers run away from the run. They didn't bring it wasn't the counter bash in the sense that they had someone coming back the other way. So they had pullers only going the other way. Was that the Devontae Freeman run where he broke it off for 33 yards?
It might have been.
Yeah, so they just basically pulled the whole play the other way, and then he was able to just kind of slip behind it and run right up the field, which is the same action, right? Like, yeah. your point stands, right? So it wasn't completely the counter bash, but you still had the two action linemen going away from the play direction, or at least the choice to go away from the play direction, and it worked. There was a play last week also where they tried the counter bash, where they tried to pull both sets of guys against the grain at the same time, and all four of them ran into each other. Basically took themselves all out of the play. It was on a sweep. I think it was on an end around to maybe Duvernay. And so it ended up being a game because anybody inside the tackle box looked like they had no idea what was going on because everybody was running in contrary directions and everybody on the offense ran into each other and the defenders didn't really know what to do. And Duvernay just kind of took off to the side. So I think that I bring that up to say that I think maybe some of those communication errors and the practice time and getting like the spacing and the depth of what they need to do to be able to run that effectively might be part of the problem right now. I expect to see it back though, because given what we were seeing from Lamar running the ball up the middle, that's when he was almost deathly on those counter bash runs when he was the third option to run up the middle. Cause then you had people just going, it was like the Red Sea parting and he just dart up the middle 40 yards, bam, it was done. So I assume that the Ravens are just holding it back for now. Let's not put it on tape. Let's not know people that we're going to run it. Let's continue to cycle through and do all that. But I think it'll be back.
Yeah. I'll hope that's the case. I mean, it's obviously something that's in the playbook. They know how to run it. It could be something else. It could be the offensive line. Like you mentioned, you know, the guard has kind of rotated a little bit. We saw a little bit of rotation this game. We saw Ben Cleveland play. We saw, you know, Ben Powers play the Bens. I think we both eventually hope that Cleveland takes over that job. He has the potential to be kind of a mauler and a difference maker for this Ravens offensive line. You know, Powers was, I think, solid tonight, although he had a couple issues as well. Pretty good in pass protection. I'll give the Ravens props, especially the interior offensive line. And you know what, Alejandro Villanueva, you got a lot better in this game, whether it's going from right tackle to left tackle, but and maybe not going against the kind of speed rusher that he had last week. That's maybe just a bad matchup for him. But I think that, you know, he looked way more comfortable in this game. The O-line, just night and day compared to what we saw last week.
Yeah, totally. I mean, let's talk about both lines for a second, but I think that the offensive line deserves a ton of credit. Obviously, Greg Roman schemed up a beautiful plan to attack Chris Jones. It was, you know, we haven't seen I think there's a lot of criticism for the Ravens offense of not kind of targeting defensive players enough and saying, hey, we're going to go after this guy in this matchup. Tonight, it was clear that the Ravens were trying to put Chris Jones on skates and make him look stupid. And they succeeded in making one of the best players in the NFL look like he had no idea what he was doing. And he had no business playing on the edge, which he really doesn't, especially in kind of the formation and like in the wider spread of the way the Chiefs play. The Ravens clearly went after him, clearly took an advantage of it, did a fantastic job of that. Across the board, though, in the remainder of the positions, I can't remember a game where the defensive offensive line held up this well against the defensive line from the Chiefs. And maybe that's because Chris Jones didn't play on the interior of this game. And I imagine that if the Ravens play the Chiefs again this year, Chris Jones will not be playing on the outside at all in that game. And they'll prepare for that differently. But the Ravens have had a lot of trouble with the interior of the Chiefs defensive line. And they really cleaned that up. I think Zeitler deserves a lot of credit for bringing some stability back to that right guard position, which was an absolute train wreck. I think he's going to grade out pretty well at the end of this game. And luckily we have the all 22, so we'll be able to take a little bit of a closer look at what some of that looks like. I think Bozeman has held down the center pretty well, minus one little bit of a shaky snap there in this game. And then left guard, we just need to figure out. But I thought Powers played well enough this game. Cleveland seemed to do well on the drives that he was in on. Makari seems like a great option at swing right tackle. I mean, it's not perfect, but it gets the job done. And these guys deserve a lot of credit. Lamar had a lot of time. I'm interested to see Ken and Film Study's article on Ample Time and Space, essentially, to see what Lamar had. I think he's going to have a lot of passing opportunities where he had ample time and space, including that first play that was an overthrow.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was one of the major differences in this game. Just having a better pass protection unit. And maybe that's partially the competition as well, and the situation of being at home as opposed to being on the road in a crazy stadium. We were both at the game in Las Vegas, and that place was completely like rocking. That definitely affects your ability to protect. I think there's a lot going on, but I do want to give credit, like you said, Patrick Makari. I thought he played fantastic in this game. I don't recall like once having somebody just completely beat him and get a quick pressure. And maybe that's also competition. Like, I mean, I know the Chiefs don't have the edge rushers that, you know, maybe the Raiders do or some other teams in the NFL, but that's just, you know, what a well-played game by someone who was put into a kind of a difficult position. You know, he's kind of the Ravens' Swiss Army knife and along the offensive line. I think he's played pretty much everywhere along there, except for maybe left tackle, to come in and make a, you know, clutch start at right tackle and really help solidify that offensive line. That's a huge difference maker. And if when we don't know how long, you know, Ronnie Stanley's going to be out, he's kind of seems like he's a game time decision this week. He didn't practice at all. So that might just be like what's going to be for the time being. Hopefully, you know, he's going to get healthy and be able to get back out there. But in the meantime, the difference that we saw from week one to week two, I think was one of the major factors here for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the nice part is that they get a couple weeks against teams that aren't as good right now coming up in terms of the Lions and the Broncos. So they get some time to continue to gel, get it together, kind of figure out what that looks like, keep Stanley healthy if they need to. But, you know, imagine growth from either Powers or Cleveland. Pick your poison there, right? You know, we continue to see Zeitler and Bozeman play well. Villanueva gets back to the right side when Stanley's healthy. They get to settle in. That's an offensive line that is the other thing that we saw in Las Vegas is those guys are freaking huge, right? Yeah. Like, and if in some crazy world, Tyree Phillips is back in like a month or two, like that, they are a monster group of guys. And if they are running like they were running the ball tonight, it is going to be really hard for anybody in the NFL to stop them. You know, there are a handful of teams that might be best suited to fit in terms of that. And unfortunately, two of them are Pittsburgh and Buffalo, who we could run into in the playoffs. But those guys are going to be an absolute load and a really hard time to handle. You know, I think the defensive line, though, deserves some credit for this game, too. You know, it seemed like early on they weren't really kind of terribly effectively defending the run. But by the time the game was said and done, 3.4 yards on the ground for the entirety of the Chiefs team, 3.5 for Edwards-Helaire. Obviously, they had the fumble. They got better. You know, obviously, the outside linebackers on the edge guys did well. But I thought Madubuike had a really good game. That whole defensive holding call was total BS. I don't even like he was literally hands extended between two guys. He was being double teamed. How do you hold? Like, in what world have you? Anyway, it was a terrible call. Yeah. Yeah, I thought he played a really good game.
He split the double team, and I don't, maybe he grabbed a jersey or something, but he basically did his job as well as he possibly can. And I don't know, the refs were like, you can't actually do that, so you're going to get called for like a flag there. And I don't know, maybe they called the wrong number. Like, I'm not entirely sure, but that should not have been a penalty for him. And that was a big play in the game, actually, too, because instead of going from, you know, it would have been second and long, because it was a run for a loss on that play. It would have been, you know, they gave him a first down. Just, there's a kind of little thing. I feel like the Ravens got hit with a couple of those kind of penalties in this game. But, you know, to be able to overcome that. And like you said, the whole Ravens defense, I thought, played well. I thought Brandon Williams had a nice few plays. You know, he had a couple good run stuffs. I think he got a couple pressures in there. He's actually, you know, had a couple decent pressures so far. He's maybe, if he can develop that part of his game, then he's going to be, you know, a useful player for the Ravens, aside from just, you know, being the normal run stuffer that he's been. Calais Campbell, you know, he's been solid. The Ravens, and you know, had Justin Ellis in there a little bit. Nothing too descript. Others, aside from that, you know, when he tackled Kelsey as he ran to the end zone, I found amusing for some reason.
He was part of the double team on Kelsey with Malik Harrison. Like,
yeah, he was dropping
just
strange.
Yeah, I'm just going to leave it at that. Malik Harrison and Justin Ellis were double teaming Travis Kelsey, and he scored a touchdown. Who was surprised? Nobody.
Yeah, but, you know, Broderick Washington was a healthy scratch for this one, which is a little interesting because, you know, Derek Wolfe also was inactive. His back spasms, I think, still giving him some issues. So Ravens only dressed four defensive linemen, and they were in a lot of kind of nickel and dime pretty much throughout, and that's probably why they only dressed four. But I thought they held up really well. And like you said, the run defense was solid. The Chiefs didn't try to run it a lot, but when they did, you know, they only had a couple large gains earlier on. And then that kind of helped really get the Ravens into some of those longer down and distances that really helped them get those three and outs and stops in the second half and the fourth quarter, especially.
And the credit is due to them, not just because they got the stops, but because they were doing it in a lot of too high or deep set looks. Like, I don't know if I would necessarily call them too high. I'd have to take a look on the all 22, but they were doing it with like six and seven man fronts. And in a lot of cases, really six man fronts or less. They were still being able to stop the run when they were in those situations. You know, the defensive line is setting up the linebackers, you know, Patrick Queen is like the Joker, right? Like, I know that's Deshaun Elliott's nickname, so I don't mean to like steal it. I'm just trying to, he's night and day. There are times where he just makes these tremendous plays. Like when he had the stop on, obviously the Mahomes play where there was a penalty behind it. That was just an incredible play from Patrick Queen. And then he turns around and on the goal line, when they run the touchdown in, he just completely whiffs when he has the running back in the backfield dead to rights. And so it's just like, if he can just clean up the bad side to just being okay, then he will be one of the top five inside linebackers in the NFL. He just cannot seem to make that hump. That being said, the run defense was very good in this game, and it made a really big difference in getting second and third and longs, and forcing the Chiefs to not be able to use that like short dink and dunk underneath crap to be able to convert their first downs and really extend the game.
Yep. Completely agree with that. I think, you know, we're wrapping things up soon. We already talked a little bit about OA. I think we want to highlight a few of the players who had big games here. So let's see. I'm going to give props to Hollywood Brown. He's been on quite the run of late. He ended the season very strongly, including the playoffs. He came out tonight and had a hell of a game. You know, obviously could have had an even bigger game if Lamar hadn't missed him. Just overall, like, he's proving to be the guy that's really hard to cover on the back end of the Ravens. Like, he's that one guy who can get open. You know, I think last year we saw some statistics about him having some of the, you know, the best kind of separation in the NFL. The numbers didn't necessarily agree with that in terms of the yards and the catches, but this year he's come out of the gates, you know, blazing. Like, he's on pace to have a really impressive year for the Ravens. And, you know, he may or may not be able to keep up that pace, but we love to see, you know, someone like this finally kind of reaching the potential that we thought he had all along.
Yeah, I mean, he's on track for a Pro Bowl year through two games. So, you know, that's not saying a ton, but I think he is going to have a Pro Bowl year. Unless we see kind of, you know, the diversification of the Ravens passing game happen when Bateman and Boykin come back. I think he is going to have a Pro Bowl year. He's clearly Lamar's favorite target so far on this year. If they would run him on a post every time they choose to run him on a nine route, I think the Ravens would be more successful as a team overall. But he just played a phenomenal game. He showed the ability to get open in the deep middle third of the field and to have a sense of how to get behind guys and make guys kind of really pay for how they choose to defend him there. We saw on that slot play, he was 2 yards away from breaking that away from a touchdown. That reminded me of the play in the Miami game a couple years ago. They need to run more of that. They need to let him be the guy on the choice option for Lamar, not only because he's improved as a receiver, but he's also Lamar's favorite receiver in that sense. If they kind of add a third layer to that behind that, where Andrews isn't the first read anymore, this offense is going to become really, really dangerous in those kind of RPO passing situations, which I know you said earlier you'd like to see a little bit more of. So, you know, I think there's a good chance that he's a Pro Bowl representative when this year is all said and done.
Another game that reminds me of, harkening back to last year, was the second half of that Colts game. I don't know if you remember it, but they came out and used Hollywood in the slot, used him on a few of those like quick RPO plays. And just like, it was like easy pickings. Like Lamar was able to get that ball out quickly. You know, Hollywood can create separation, get open on that seemingly every single time. Like if you can like make the linebackers think for a second and suck them in and let him get behind them, I feel like that's just a play that you should have put in to the game design like 4 or 5 times at least every single game.
And if you can put 3 wide receivers out wide to the left, and Hollywood can be the middle one of those receivers, Mark Andrews can be in line tight to the right, you can have a running back in for extra protection there, and you turn that into some kind of like RPO. Brown then has the ability to kind of either cut behind whatever that action is if he sees it that way, or just go north on it. And Lamar has the ability to just essentially be looking right at it, right? So the touchdown pass they missed, and maybe we'll try and get this video up. The problem with the touchdown pass was, and you and I have complained about this before, you can run play action, but if you're in the shotgun, you are wasting time by having Lamar do the full 360 where he turns around and he turns his back to the play. He loses about 3/4 of a second to 1.5 seconds of time of processing time. If that handoff happens like Lamar is going forward and he doesn't do the loop around, that would have been a touchdown. And Tyrann Mathieu would have no opportunity to break that playoff. Hollywood was wide open, but during the time that he was open, Lamar's back was to him and he wasn't able to see him, right? So if the Ravens can figure out a way to work those two guys together and let Lamar keep his eyes on Hollywood and being that first option read and then check through others, I just think the offense has the opportunity to become really dangerous. And we're already talking about an offense that scored a lot of points this year.
Yeah. And while we're talking about offense, let's talk a little bit about Tyson Williams. I know we mentioned him earlier, but you know, he had another really good game. Like he was the featured running back one in this one, 13 carries, I think. I mean, that's not a ton of carries, but in the Ravens offense, that's kind of what Dobbins was getting at the end of like last season. It seems like they filled into that kind of like 1A, 1B with him and Murray. You know, Murray's kind of taking on that Gus Edwards role that he has had for the past 3 years. I feel like it's kind of a natural thing. And then you have kind of a third down or kind of change of pace back with whether it's Freeman or Bell. I'm not sure. I assume a Freeman's going to be the guy. He was, you know, selected to the roster. So he's probably going to be around. He showed a little bit of juice, but I think, you know, Williams, there's a little bit of positive and negative with him. He's still kind of like learning on the job a little bit. I think that comfort level with Lamar is only going to get better. We haven't seen kind of that mesh point played too much a lot so far with him. I think that's something that's going to be taking on a bigger role throughout the course of the season. But he's shown just that ability to get to the edge, be explosive. If he can kind of clean up the vision a little bit, obviously you don't want to have the fumble like you saw earlier, but he's really kind of emerging, I think, as someone that's going to be important in this Ravens offense.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, 13 carries for almost 80 yards and 2 huge plays before the end of the second half when he has that major run on the 2nd and 25 where he picks up that big chunk of yards. I want to say it was like 15 plus yards on that play. And then on the play where he does miss the read, the vision you were talking about in the 4th quarter, the next play he comes back and he runs it for a first down on 2nd and 10. Those two plays made a huge difference in this game. One of them led to the touchdown. One of them led to the field goal at the end of the first half. Big difference makers in those overall. And so, like you said, if he can clean the vision up a little bit, for sure. Also, on that touchdown, I know you can't fumble the ball there, but when he was going into the hole, Devin Duvernay was blocking the only guy that was up the field on him. I don't think he had any anticipation that there was another guy that was going to make contact with him from that side, because he just assumed that that block was going to be carried through and there wasn't going to be essentially a guy able to come in for a free hit on him totally at will. Devin Duvernay, once Tyson Williams got by him, and I'll make sure that we pull this clip too. Once he gets by him, he releases his guy and he turns and he looks at Tyson Williams and he goes to watch him run the ball in. So that's something that Duvernay needs to clean up. If he holds that block through, then it's just a touchdown straight up. And the only reason Duvernay is able to catch the ball after the fumble is because he's staring at Williams instead of blocking his guy. So, you know, I want to give Duvernay credit for that touchdown, but in a lot of ways, I put that fumble directly on him on that play. Tyson's got to clean that up. That's got to be fixed. But for the rest of the game, it seemed like it was pretty good ball security. And even on that play, he had the ball pretty tight. It's just essentially a defender was able to put his helmet on the ball, basically coming in unblocked. And so that's always that's all. It doesn't matter who you are. There's a good chance of a fumble on plays like that.
Yep, that's definitely true. And I think, you know, Williams is going to have opportunities to get better and improve. And I think he's probably going to have a slightly expanded role. You know, if he can get 15 touches a game, I think that's going to be really good for the Ravens. And he is going to be, you know, a nice kind of like, I don't even want to say silver lining, but I guess it is silver lining to, you know, have someone like that who you're able to fill a role that you weren't expecting him to have to fill, but to have someone who can actually be a bit of a playmaker for you. That's nice to have. And I'm really glad he earned it in the preseason. You know, he earned that role to make the team, and he's showing in these first 2 weeks that he can be, you know, a really important piece of this offense moving forward.
Yeah. Well, I'll close this out. And if you've got someone else you want to mention, but props to Mark Andrews also on the play before the half where he jumps over the defender to get his way out of bounds and stop the clock. That play and the Tyson Williams play to pick up that big chunk of yards on the second and 25 were both the reasons why the Ravens ended up scoring a field goal, which ended up being more than the difference, that they had to win this game. And so it was a really heads up play by Andrews. I think he's playing somewhat of the role of attracting attention right now and not getting looks and not getting throws to him because of that. We'll have to take a closer look at the film to see if that's actually the case, but I think that to be true, and I think that he's being a team player about that, and I think it's going to open up for him as the Ravens continue to be better in other places to other guys.
Yeah, I need to look into the film a little bit more too, because I feel like Andrews was in the past running a lot more deeper routes, like downfield, kind of almost vertical routes than what we've seen so far this year. He's been a lot of kind of the underneath guy. He's just there to kind of like occupy space and occupy defenders, while the wide receivers are more of the downfield threats. And I think, you know, maybe we'll see a little bit more kind of, you know, seam routes, kind of like some of these like deep crossers out of Andrews as the season progresses. But right now he's like you said, he's kind of just like being a security blanket when he needs to. He's taking some of the underneath, but I think he's like that play that he had tonight, that was incredible, you know, effort to get out of bounds, save the clock, you know, to be able to, you know, keep the drive going and get a score. That's huge. And that's really smart. It's really being aware of the situation on the field. You know, he had a decent stat line out of this one. And I think, you know, the bigger numbers will come like against different opposition. I think there'll be more chances for him to expand, but you know, I think he has the potential to fill kind of like one of these, like maybe he doesn't have quite the athleticism of like a Travis Kelce, but he can be someone who can do a lot of those same things. And if the Ravens give him more of like, more looks and more kind of early options, you know, he's someone that I think can have, you know, a 75, 80 catch year, you know, push 1,000 receiving yards. He just doesn't look like through two games that he's been that option. And maybe that's because the other tight ends the Ravens have not been as impressive. Once you get Boyle out, you know, have that primary blocker. He's the guy who used to be the kind of the underneath guy to catch those passes, the security kind of check down guy. Andrews can then run more of those like over routes and run more of those seam routes. And I think he can then become more of a, you know, explosive vertical threat in this passing offense.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and the last thing I'll add at the end of this is that I'm glad that Sammy Watkins didn't go down as the GOAT in this game, because there was a chance, there was a moment there where he dropped a really easy pass for a first down. He slipped on the pick six. So I was glad to see the Ravens pull this one out and not have kind of that burden weighing on him too.
Yeah. I mean, he definitely, he had that catch that set up the fourth down conversion. So, you know, he came up with the play when he needed to. I was a little upset because I was like, why are you short of the sticks on that route? But, you know, it worked out for the Ravens. They got the play that they needed to, and, you know, they got the victory, and that's all that matters.
Yep. Well, thanks for tuning in, everybody. We're glad to be back for this upcoming season. We're hopeful to get a couple of these video clips of some of the stuff that we talked about today out on Twitter. You know, he's at Gabe Fergie. I'm at Raven Sit Room. Our hope is to be able to have some of the broadcast film to be able to break down some of these plays a little bit more in depth during these podcasts in future weeks. But for now, just enjoy this Ravens win. Enjoy this start to the year, and hopefully the Ravens keep this train rolling.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.